I've seen Craig from the first Sunday that he came in, right through to now, and you know, even your face is changing. Do you know what I mean? Just that anger that you used to walk in with. Well, the only way is up there, isn't it? So, and something's happened with Morris as well. As he forgives and as he releases things, his cakes are getting better. Have you noticed? Isn't that awesome? Do you remember when I said, I think the last time I spoke, I said, this is the critical week on Route 61. Well, actually, this is the critical week on Route 61. They're all critical. And week 7 already, and we're looking at physical healing tonight. Big topic, this. Big topic, physical healing. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to, number one, preach the good news. Number two, bind up the brokenhearted. And tonight we're looking at number three, which is to bring freedom or liberty to the captives. To bring freedom or liberty to the captives. You know, this is my view, but I think that illness, sickness, and physical suffering keeps more people in captivity than pretty much anything else. And that's just my view. Other people would share their view, but I've seen it. I've just seen people live for years with something and they're in prison. They just live a life in prison because of it. I mean, for example, on Sunday night, you know, a lady comes forward and she responds to, you know, depression. She comes forward and I said to her, how long have you had this for? And I reckon she was late 40s, this lady. And she said, I've had it since I was 13 years old. 13. She's basically lived her whole life with depression. You know, she's been a prisoner to it. And, you know, God wants us to be free from all of those things. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to bring freedom to the captives. I want to talk to you about a number of stories over the course of tonight, as well as some key Bible references and some key things Jesus did that we can model ourselves on. But I was struck a few years ago by a story that was told to me by the then head of the Elim Church. And he told a story where he was speaking one Sunday at his church on physical healing. And he said it was at a time when their church was at an all-time low in terms of its faith, moving, fruit coming out. You know, it was dry. The Elim Church was dry. And he's the head of this church. And he said he was there one Sunday morning and he's in the middle of the worship. And halfway through the worship, he thinks, I've left my notes in the office. So he slips out of the worship and he goes to the office to get his notes. But to get to his office, he has to walk past the Sunday school. And as he walks past the Sunday school, and like an organized church does, the Sunday school teacher is teaching on the same theme that he is, physical healing. And as he walks past this room, he hears somebody say, so have I heard you right? He hears this little child say, so have I heard you right? If we pray for his arm now, in Jesus' name, it'll be healed. And she said, yes. And he went, let's do it then. So all the kids gathered around this child who had a bad arm, might have even been a broken arm, but I think it was just a bad arm. They prayed for it, and immediately this arm is healed. His arm's healed, and the head of the Elim church is like this. And he forgets his notes, and he takes all the kids, and he takes them into the church, and at the end of the worship he says, I'm not going to speak on healing today, the kids are just going to come and pray for you. And healings happened everywhere in that church that morning. I mean, when he told that story, I was just like, you know, but Jesus says, you know, do not fear. Only believe. Do not fear. Only believe. You know, it's a hands-on, practical lifestyle that Jesus wants us to live. And the key verse, there's many verses I want to throw at you tonight, but one of the key verses is Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And when you get a chance, read it through to the end of verse 26. But in verse 17 it says, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. It's interesting. That story is about Jesus surrounded by Pharisees, Sadducees, and non-believers. And yet healing takes place in a group of people that are questioning him. Very interesting, isn't it? It says the power of the Lord. Sorry, the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. I've felt that power. I have recently felt that power. A group of us on A61 went to Birmingham to see Christ for All Nations. It used to be Reinhard Bonnke. He's moved on and he's handed it over to a guy called Daniel Kalender. And about 20 of us went from the church. Who went? Who from here went? Quick show of hands. Everyone who sits on this side of the church, obviously. So there's a group of us that went. And in a lunch break, I'd left my bag with all my kit. So I left everybody in the dining area and I went to get my bag. And as I went to get my bag, I tell you now, I felt like I was walking into a realm of something. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I was walking into something. And when I got to my bag, there was two stewards, two ladies, who were sat looking after the hall. And they said to me, "What's this place all about? What's this meeting all about? What is it you're doing here?" And so I told them all about CFAN and about Christianity and spreading the gospel and, you know, why Jesus came and all of this business. And the one lady was really interested and the other one wasn't. And then I started talking about the fact that Jesus heals, because you'll always get people's attention when it comes to something as specific as a miracle. And this lady said, "Oh, you should speak to Mary." I can't remember what her name was, but "You should speak to Mary. She's really ill right now. You should pray for her." I'm like, I am walking in something right now. There's no one else around. They're all stuffing their faces in the canteen. I'm on my own. I'm on my own, but I'm not, because the power of the Lord was with me. I could feel it. I could feel it. So they take me to this lady called Mary, just a tiny little woman, grey-haired, all right? And there's about six or seven of these stewards all stood around. And this lady drags me and she went, "Here she is, here's Mary." So she drags me to this woman and says, "Mary, this bloke's a Christian. If he prays for you, you'll get healed." And Mary looks and goes, "Huh?" And she said, "Go on, tell her. Tell her what you've just told us." So I said, "Well, I do believe, Mary, that actually Jesus died. And one of the things that we can do as a result of that is in his name, I can pray for you and you can be healed." And she went, "Right, as you do." I said, "So can I pray for you?" And she went, "Yeah, okay." So as all of her work colleagues are stood around, imagine this, yeah? So all of her work colleagues in the NEC at Birmingham are stood watching. I pray for her. I said, "What happened?" She went, I slept in and I jumped out of bed and I hurt myself getting out of bed. I've hurt my back and I've jolted something and I've had a hot shower, but it's made no difference. And I'm in absolute agony, absolute agony. So I just prayed. I said, "Do you mind if I put my hand on your back?" She went, "No." Put my hand on her back. I said, "In the name of Jesus, all pain, leave this back now." "How does that feel?" She went, "It's a little bit better." She was from France, you see. She said, "It's a little bit better." I went, "Okay, let me just pray again. All pain, leave your back now in Jesus' name." I went, "What's it like now?" And she starts bending and twisting. I said, "Just walk up and down for me, Mary." She walks up and down. And her colleagues say, "She couldn't do that when she got in this morning." And three or four of them are aghast. They're like that. And she walks up and down. And I said, "How does it feel?" She went, "Really good, actually. A lot better." I knew I was walking into something where the power of the Lord was with me. And I have to tell you that the people around her were just, they had no idea what was going on. But a miracle always gets people's attention. It always does. I felt that. But, you know, it's important to know that from the beginning, God's desire is to heal. If you go into the Old Testament, and I'll give you a couple of verses in a minute, but in the Old Testament, there's loads of examples of where God shows his love for us in the way that he wants to heal us. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 is the end of the story of Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt. They've been away from the from Egypt for 3 days. They've escaped for 3 days. On the third day, they're thirsty. They're in the wilderness and they're thirsty. And they arrive at a town where the waters are described as bitter and undrinkable. And God says, take a tree, throw it in, and it will turn the bitter waters to sweet, and you can drink it. And he drinks it, and God says to the whole nation, if you follow my commands and do as I tell you, then all of the pestilence, all of the illness, all of the disease that you've just come from, I will save you from that, because I am the Lord who heals you. Isn't that awesome? Even from the very beginning, that's what God has been saying to his people, to you and me. I am the Lord who heals you. God has many names. He has many names. You know, one of them is Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? The Lord, our provider. Jehovah Nissi. What's that one? The Lord, our banner. Well done, Stuart. An extra week on the cleaning rota for you, my friend. And then there's Jehovah Rophi. And Jehovah Rophi is the Lord, our healer. And that was that sort of Hebrew phrase comes from that text, really, where God spoke to them and said, I am the Lord who heals you. There's many Old Testament references to God's healing. In fact, in our group, we started to talk about when Abraham and Sarah meet Abimelech. If you don't know that story, read Genesis chapter 20. Because in Genesis chapter 20, Abimelech quite likes the look of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Very complicated, the relationships back then. She was his half-sister, but she was his legal wife. And Abimelech says to Abraham, who is she? And Abraham panics, because fear makes you do stupid things. And Abraham says, she's my sister. So Abimelech thinks, all bets are on. She's fair game. She's nothing to this guy. I'm interested. He calls for her. He takes her to the palace. They don't sleep together, or he doesn't go into her or anything like that. But he's going to. He wants this woman. He wants this woman. But Abraham and Sarah are chosen by God. They are brought out, chosen by God. There ain't no way God's going to let something like that happen. And the womb of every woman in the kingdom or within the palace closes up. God stops Abimelech's wife and all of his concubines from having children because of this. Don't you feel a bit sorry for Abimelech? He doesn't know that much about this, but this is what God does. God appears to Abimelech, explains to him very clearly that he's going to die if this carries on. Abimelech goes straight to Abraham, does everything he can to clear this up, everything he can. And Abraham says to God, Lord, please, please let this man have children in his kingdom. And God heals every woman within the palace, and they're free to have children. We've had that. Carolyn and I have had that very same sort of experience, where in a short space of time, three families who couldn't have kids, we've prayed for them. They were about to go through IVF, or IVF had failed for them. And in three families, we prayed for them, and every single woman of those three fell pregnant naturally and had children. I mean, that's awesome. Just to be part of that, you know, just to be used by God for that is absolutely awesome. And then I thought that phase had gone until Martin and I went to Scotland. Do you remember? Went to Scotland. A woman comes to me. I said, you know, and I told that story. I said, you know, if there's anyone here that you know, that's an issue for you, come and see me at the end. And this old lady comes up to me, and I'm thinking, flipping heck, I'm not praying for you, love. And she says, no, it's not me, it's my daughter. She can't have kids. So she stood in the gap, and in Jesus' name we prayed that daughter would be able to have children. Martin went back a few months later with a couple of other guys. And the woman went up to Martin and said, my daughter's pregnant. Isn't that awesome? When I tell that story, some women run 1,000 miles away from me. But isn't God awesome? Isn't God absolutely awesome? You know, if you want to read in the Old Testament about any other sort of things around healing, Lamentations chapter 2, Hosea chapter 14, verse 4. If you've got a list of all of the Bible verses, they're all in there. I don't have time to go through them all tonight, but they're definitely worth a read. Jesus lived on the earth for 33 years. And for the last 3 years, he moved in his ministry. In 3 years, he gave us the absolute taste of things to come. In 3 years, Jesus gave us the example for everything. Every single thing. The way you pray, the way you need faith, the way you commune with God, the way you should be with your fellow man, and of course, the power to heal. And in those 33 years, on this earth, Jesus gave us many examples. In Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And when Jesus was working with the disciples and working with people that followed him, he was giving them a taste of what we would do ourselves. He says when he leaves us, he said when he left, he said, "Greater things you'll do than this, because I've just done it for 3 years, but you're going to do it for a long, long time." 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Desire the pure milk that you may grow, having tasted that the Lord is good." Once you got Jesus, you just want more, don't you? You just want to grow and you want to do more. And, you know, being a Christian isn't a spectator sport. It isn't. Jesus wants us to get stuck in. He wants us to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. He absolutely wants us to do that. And, you know, I love the account of Jesus in Mark's Gospel. And I love it because I don't do spectator sports very well, even when it's my own kids. My boys are pretty good at football. And I love watching them play. And there's no one happier than me when one of them puts a good tackle in or scores a goal. Seriously, I'm their biggest fan, all right? But I still stand there watching thinking, wish I was playing. As you get older, you kind of lose the ability to, especially when everyone else is five, and it would just be, well, wrong. But I sit there thinking, I wish I was playing. I wish I was out there. I don't do spectator sports very well. And actually, that's a good thing, because God doesn't want us to spectate on what happens either. He wants us in the mix. There's 7 billion people on the planet that need saving and need healing and need help. And the workers are few, so we need to get out there. But I love Mark's Gospel. I've been reading it a lot recently, and I love it because he virtually starts every sentence with, "Immediately, Jesus goes and does this. Immediately, Jesus goes and does that." In fact, he says "immediately" about over 20 times in the book. And there's a wonderful bit where he goes to a place and he's met by legion, all right? And he immediately deals with legion. And then it says, immediately after dealing with legion, someone comes up to him, Jairus comes up to him and says, "My daughter's lying, she's dying, will you come?" And Jesus says, "Yes." Immediately he sets off to go. As he goes, a woman with an issue of blood says, "If I could just touch his cloak." She touches him, immediately he feels power go out of him. He says, "Who touched my cloak?" The disciples say, "Jesus, everyone's touching you." He went, "No, someone with faith just touched me." And this woman turns to him and he says, "Your faith has made you well." Healed, done, dusted. Immediately, someone comes from the synagogue and says, "Tell the teacher not to bother. Jairus' daughter is dead." And Jesus says, "Don't fear, only believe." He goes to where she is. He goes up to her and he says, "Little girl, get up." Tabitha Coombe, I think it is. He says, "Little girl, get up." And she gets up. And immediately he goes and does something else. Jesus is in the healing business all the time. It's a way of life for Jesus. Everything he does, all the time. Immediately, immediately, immediately. Can you imagine you get into work at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, and someone says, "What happened?" "Well, I needed petrol first, so I got there, raised this bloke from the dead who'd fallen just as he was about to pay. Woman with cancer was healed in Jesus' name as I laid hands on her out there, and a bloke's leg grew back. A bloke's leg grew back just before I got in. And everyone went, okay, well, you're late for the meeting, though, we need to start. Because that's the normality. That's the normality of Christian living, is that you just don't, you don't go, really, you're healed. You go, praise the Lord, next. That's the reality of Christian living. We were sharing in our group that a few of the guys went to Wales a couple of years ago, and Darren said one of the things that struck him more than anything else was when someone in our church prayed for a woman's deaf ear and she was able to hear, this girl went, wow, really? Because, you know, for her, it was like flipping neck, but actually, that's normality. That's normality when the power of the Lord is with you. It's a taste of everyday living. You know, our vision in this church is for you to grow to your maximum potential with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why part of the reason why we set it up, we just want people to absolutely love Christian living. We want you to just live it and go, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. And healing is a massive part of our calling. My old experience of my Christian years before spending much time with the likes of Martin and being involved with Amazing Grace is pretty barren when it comes to seeing people healed. Because what used to happen if somebody was really ill, in my experience, is they'd call for the healer. They'd call for someone who actually was gifted in healing. And very often, that someone like Vic Gledhill would come to the church and he'd pray for someone and they'd be healed. And then Vic would leave and we'd be like, oh, I can't wait to get Vic back again. Because for me, I was in a rank of Christian faith that was down here somewhere. And actually to be moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, I need to get further up the league table somehow. That's what it felt like to me, because nothing was happening in the world that I was living in. Until I went to Estonia. And in Estonia, prayed for people who were healed immediately. And people were coming up to me saying, pray for me, pray for me. As if I'm this seasoned healing campaigner who does this all the time. And I'm like, okay. Are you healed? Yeah. Okay. Calm, calm, calm. Get in there! Who's next? And that is normal Christian living. The danger is, as you get older, if you don't experience that, you can become defeated and cynical. You can become defeated and cynical. That's why Jesus says, you know, you're arguing over who's the greatest. Bring me the little girl. There's your model. Be like her. Be like her and you'll succeed in the kingdom. Now stop fighting about who's the greatest and just be childlike. Malcolm, just be childlike. And it's just like that healing pastor story, isn't it? You know, all these people in the church, dry, unfruitful, nothing happening. Bring the kids in. Bring the kids in and watch the thing take off. Because they just do it. They just do it. Don't ever stop our kids in their growth. Don't ever stop them. The third thing to say is, his victory is ours. Some Bible references for you. We won't read the whole thing. Acts chapter 28. Paul arrives in Malta. He goes to build a fire. He's gathering firewood. And a serpent, a snake, bites him on the arm. And everyone around him, every local around him, says, oh, he's going to die, he's going to die. And like you do when you see an accident, they all hang around. Still alive. Still alive, nothing's happening. And nothing does happen to Paul. And instead of thinking that he was a demon, they decide he's a god. How fickle people are, eh? But there's self-healing. The self-healing because of Jesus' victory. And one story that really I remember is when Teen Challenge was really taking off back in the late 80s, early 90s, an Irish guy, I went to see him speak once, and he said when he was in prison, he knew that someone had poisoned his food. He knew that someone had poisoned it. And he said he sat down, said grace, thanked God for the food, ate it, and nothing happened. And the guy who poisoned it for days was saying to him, are you all right? And he's like, absolutely fine. Just living the dream. just living the dream. The self-healing in Jesus' victory. Mark chapter 5, the woman with blood, if I could just touch his cloak. She had that for 12 years. For 12 years she had that, but she reached out and touched Jesus. There's something in touch. Luke chapter 13 talks about a woman with a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. You can read into that what you want, but it brings up a whole host of things that it could be, doesn't it? Was she infirm in her legs? Was it internal? What could it, you know, it's a whole host of things that it could be, but it doesn't sound good. And after 18 years, Jesus lays hands on her and speaks to the spirit of infirmity. He lays hands on her and he speaks it out. John 5, a man with infirmity at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years he has it. Jesus commands healing. He just commands healing. So there's self-healing, there's the touch, there's the laying on the hands, there's the speaking to spirits, and there's the commanding of healing. That's what Jesus did. But what about after Jesus? Well, go to Acts 3, because in Acts 3, at the gate beautiful, just before the temple, Peter and John go to pray, and there is a lame man who's been there for a long, long time. And he says, "Alms, sir." And they say, "We have no money, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Speak healing in the name of Jesus. I always get a bit nervous myself when I can hear me saying, "And then I healed this guy." I'm just the donkey carrying Jesus into town. I'm just the waiter serving his food. It's Jesus that heals. Only Jesus that heals. If someone's healed 1%, it's nought to do with you. If someone's healed 2%, it's nothing to do with you. It's all about Jesus. By his stripes, we are healed. Ananias, one of my favourite characters in the Bible. Which Ananias are you, by the way? Acts chapter 9. Not yet available as a Bible DVD, I know. But Ananias, it has a vision, and in the vision it talks about him putting his hand on Paul, and Paul being healed. And that's what he goes and does. I love that Ananias. So full of guts and courage. He goes to the Christian murderer of the region, lays hands on him, and Paul's eyes open. He's healed by the laying on of hands. Our hands. We do it in the name of Jesus. It's normal Christian living. It's not really normal, is it? It's not really normal, is it? I have to say, some people say to me, so what are you doing that outreach event for then? And I'd say, because actually I just want to show people that Christians are normal. Sorry. We're not normal. That's supernatural. That is supernatural. But it is everyday Christian living. Some practical issues for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 says that we are what? It says that we are in Christ. All right? And Colossians chapter 2 verses 9 and 10 says, "In him the fullness of the Godhead resides, and I am complete," or reside, "in him." Now, they are two very, very powerful verses. We're going to take a minute to get our heads around that. Because for us as Christians, this is the key. This is the key now. And so I want to just talk a little bit about what some of that means. Who here believes that God is holy? All right. The description of holy is set apart. So if we're all down here, God is set apart. He's holy. Does that make sense? He is a distance from us in terms of where we are versus where he is. And that is because he is holy. Are we holy? We are. But how are we holy? Is it because we live a great life ourselves and therefore we're set apart? Do we live up here? Do we live up here? So how can we be holy if we live down here? Because God, in his esteemed wisdom, sent Jesus. He sent Jesus, who also lives up here. And Jesus took a number of very brave and physically painful steps to earth to be amongst us and to die on a cross, that everything that his Father had laid on him would become part of our not normal, natural life. We are in Christ. And as Jesus ascended back to heaven, he said, I leave you my spirit, our helper. Who's in pain? Who's in pain right now? Who's got a pain? You got a pain? Come on out. Is it your feet? Knee. Okay. You've got a swollen knee. All right. Who really wants to move in the power of the Spirit? Come on out. I love it when it's people I don't know very well, because it gives me a chance to get to know you. What's your name? Margaret. Come on through, Margaret. Dodgy name, but welcome anyway. All right? So we're going to need a bit of space, ladies, so come over here. All right? So this is kind of the normal situation in life, all right? These two meet in Tesco's, all right, by the pickle aisle, okay? And pickle aisle, where'd that come from? Because you love pickles, don't you? All right? And Catherine is hobbling a little bit, yeah? Swollen knee, struggling a little bit. And Margaret, with the same compassion that Jesus had when the four men lowered a guy down, says, oh dear, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? All right? And Catherine says, yes. All right? And so she prays for her, all right? And then you get on with what you do, yeah? You see that all the time, don't we? We see that all the time, okay? Maybe not in Tesco's, but certainly at the university where Darren works, all right? You see that all the time. But here's the thing, all right? Jesus Christ is in us. All the power of the kingdom comes to us because of what Jesus did. It's not just our salvation that we get at the cross. It's everything else. And as I sat there this afternoon reading through these notes, I'm reminded again of what "it is finished" actually means. Another glimpse for me that those few words mean so much more. It is finished. Have it. Have it. It's finished. Take it. Take it. And so what happens in this example is way more than just two ladies meeting in Tesco, because God the Father's with us. And he's over there. Jesus is with us. Did you want to be Jesus? All right. Is it the hair? All right. And the Holy Spirit is with us. One Corinthians 30 says that you are in Christ. So Jesus himself is right with you. Right with you. But Jesus isn't the only person that's right with her, because the Holy Spirit, our beautiful Holy Spirit, our helper, is with you. And in his esteemed wisdom, God the Father connects us with him through his Son and the cross. And he is with you. See, when Margaret walks into the room, everything changes. Because Jesus has just walked into the room. It isn't just Margaret doing her weekly shop in Tesco's. Jesus himself is walking around Tesco. In fact, the whole Trinity is with her. Because the Bible says, in him the fullness of the Godhead resides, and I am complete and reside in him. You're a four-man powerhouse. And now we're going to pray for Catherine's swollen knee. Where is it? That one. How did you do it?
Because of arthritis every autumn.
When it gets cold, yeah. you get a swollen knee. Okay.
It's not cold even, but it's the same period of time.
All right. So we're going to pray, Margaret. You just lay hands now. But it's not just your hand laying on there. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and our beautiful Holy Spirit is with you. And in the name of Jesus, be healed. All pain, all swollenness, leave this knee in Jesus' name. All arthritis, go. All reaction to cold, go. Any swelling, any inflammation, get out now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Just have a look at your knee. And does that feel any different?
There. Swollen.
Okay, so the whole of the Godhead and Margaret are going to pray again, and they're going to keep praying. So you guys keep praying while we keep going. How powerful is that? You're a four-man hit squad every time you pray for someone, because Jesus has just walked in the room. There is a question, though, and it's a bit of an elephant in the room. What if God doesn't heal? Did it come up in your groups? What if God doesn't heal? Well, it's right to come up in groups, because it's a living example. People have experienced it. I think the first thing to say, right, is I find it quite interesting having to speak on this for the first time after my own brother-in-law died of cancer, and his funeral was just in this very church, and I found myself just today thinking, do I believe all this? I've talked about it for a couple of years now, but do I believe it? And I'm reminded of what Reinhard Bonnke says when he prays for someone who doesn't get healed. And he said, I just pray for the next person as if the last person has just been miraculously healed. I just put all my faith into the next person that is seeking healing. Does that make sense? And that's kind of where I am, really, which is this. I'm not God. And I absolutely believe that he is sovereign. The Bible says his ways are not my ways, and his thoughts are not my thoughts. If I stood up here and told you that I understood everything, I'd be a liar. And you'd be stupid for believing me. I don't understand everything. But what I do know is I have seen many, many examples of healing. Many. And I've seen some where people haven't been healed. And I don't know why. But I do think that there are some things connected with a lack of healing. And here's a few for you. First of all, it can be a forgiveness issue. So, for example, Martin here has a problem with his ear. Okay? And for years, he has really bad earache. And he can't sleep. And in the winter, it gives him a real problem. And he has to wear a sexy muffler just to keep his ears warm. That went all the way back to a dentist, yeah, who took his tooth out just before he went to Africa. He ended up with a dry socket and was in agony for weeks. And that all went back to having to forgive a dentist years earlier who did that to him. Forgiveness is one really important one. How are we doing over here? Any better? Do you feel any better?
Not much difference yet.
Okay. Well, we'll keep praying. In the name of Jesus, all swelling come off this knee. Be healed in Jesus' name. What we're going to do, just for the sake of moving on, is we're going to leave it there and we'll come back and check Catherine at the end. All right? Thanks, guys. Thanks, Margaret. Take your friends with you. For some, you know, it's a deep-rooted family illness. The number of times I end up talking to someone, or other people that I know end up talking to someone, and their mother had it, and their grandmother had it, and their great-grandmother had it. In fact, it goes back generation after generation after generation. Oh, we've always had irritable bowel in our family. I mean, you're actually just speaking that over yourself, aren't you? We've all had it, and we'll always have it, I hear people say. I hear people actually say those things. Well, you know what? That needs dealing with. That hereditary family history of that specific illness needs cutting off right there and then. You know, deliberate, repeated sin is something we all do. We do. And if there's anyone here that thinks you don't, I'll have a chat with you afterwards. But we do. We deliberately and repeatedly sin. And sometimes it's that sin, that specific sin, that is connected to a lack of healing. It can be. It can be deep-rooted because of that. Do you know, it can be a lack of faith. In some places, Jesus struggled himself. In Nazareth, Jesus himself struggled, and he mentions the lack of faith of the people. The Son of God himself struggled because of faith. It doesn't always have to be there. And I have to tell you that when some people come to our church on a Sunday evening, particularly visitors, they walk through that door and they say, oh, there's just like an atmosphere of faith in here. And I tell you, it helps when there is an atmosphere of belief that someone's going to be healed. It really helps. That's my experience, folks, is that if 100 people are with you and have compassion for someone like Jesus did and absolutely have that faith, boy, does it make a difference. It really does. That atmosphere is very, very helpful. Sometimes it's about lack of specifics. You know, sometimes we need to be very specific about what that issue is. If Catherine came out and said, yeah, I just got some pain. And we said, okay, you know, in the name of Jesus, be healed. All right? Sometimes it could work. But actually, it's very good to be specific about certain things and understand why those things happen, particularly if you did it to yourself. So how did you hurt that ankle? I was running and I wasn't looking where I was going and I was wearing really high heels. And I would say, Stuart, stop wearing high heels. And, you know, Jesus never prayed for the sick. He just healed the sick. All right? Let's get together and we're going to pray now for the next hour over this guy and we're going to pray for him to be healed. It's not what Jesus did. It isn't. It isn't what Jesus did. He told us to speak. His example to us was to speak it and act it out. Not to sit there praying about it. And I have to tell you, I grew up in an atmosphere that said, and Lord, if it's your will that this man would be healed, well, I've already told you that it is God's will that we're healed. All right? So, you know, Lord, if you want to do this, then great. If you don't, that's great as well. But that's not what Jesus told us. He said, speak into the illness, speak into the sickness, lay hands on the problem, and deal with it. Actually, here's another one for you. Some people don't want to be healed. It's true. It's absolutely true. And here's why. Some people are so resigned to that lifestyle that they don't want to change. Particularly if they're on benefits, by the way. So if I get healed, I lose this income. I'll stay with it, thanks. I've seen it. I've actually seen it. And I've even seen people healed who then say, am I really healed? A year ago, I couldn't walk. And I haven't walked for 10 years. And now I'm walking. And I am definitely walking. But you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Tell the hospital we won't send the wheelchair back just yet. Actually, we'll keep those crutches for a little bit, just in case. And I hear lots of stories about the woman who was healed, or the man who was healed, who over the time ends up back exactly where they started, because they didn't want it, or they lacked faith. You know, on the big question of what if God doesn't heal, the answer's quite simple. The ultimate healing, tells us in Revelations chapter 21, verse 1 to 4, is when we all go to heaven. Because there's no pain. And there's no sickness, no illness, and no disease. Can't wait for that day, can you? Can't wait to say to Booper, I don't need to pay my monthly subscription to you anymore. Ultimately, God is in control. He's sovereign. And my own brother-in-law didn't want to be healed. I remember going to his house the day after he came to our church. And he said to me and my sister, I just want to go to heaven. Just, will you just, Christine, will you just let me go, please? I want to go to heaven. Why would you stop someone who wants to go to heaven like that? To live is Christ and to die is gain, you know. And so I've seen it. I've absolutely seen it. So the last thing I wanted to do is I just wanted to share with you. I just wanted to share with you some recent stories. Do you know, when I first started doing this slot 2 or 3 years ago, I used to quote Bill Johnson stories because they were the only ones I had. But now I quote stories that happen here because healings happen in this church. The first thing is Dave Hunt. Anyone know Dave Hunt? He's got the same hairstyle as Craig. And he came to our church 1 week because Di, his wife, had left her jacket. And when he came, he was talking to me about something, and I just wasn't listening to him. Just wasn't listening to him at all. Prayed for him, and he went bang on the floor. All right? And then when he got up, he came over to see me and started talking again. I just wasn't listening to him at all. And he mentioned something about his back and his neck and a car crash years ago, and he'd been in agony for years and was depressed with it and couldn't get out of bed and hadn't had a job in years, and he was in, you know, his back was wrecked and the doctors told him that there's nothing going to happen. He's got ulcers from all the painkillers he's been on over the years. And I said, oh, in the name of Jesus, just be healed. Your back, your neck, your shoulders, your vertebrae, your spine, everything healed. And in that moment, right here, Dave Hunt was healed, and he's been exactly healed every day ever since. Every day, ever since, years later, and at the time, there was a visitor in our church who was praying with me, and he said to me, are you a doctor? Are you like a physician? I went, no, not at all. And he went, it's just when you were talking about specifics like his vertebrae and his neck and all that lot. And I was like, no, I just asked him what was wrong, and then I just prayed into the things that were wrong. I prayed specifically about the things that were wrong. Does that make sense? Okay. Secondly, she's not here tonight, I don't think. Is Nicola here? Nicola? Okay. She is dead meat when I find out that when I talk to her about not being here tonight. But Nicola comes to our church one Sunday night, and her ex-partner had stamped on her face so hard that he'd depressed her cheekbone. It was concave, right? Her cheekbone went in. She had a shadow under this cheek, and this cheek was completely flat, and if anything, it went in. All right? We prayed at the back of the church for Nicola's cheek. We prayed for a creative miracle in Jesus' name, and nothing happened. And then she went to the toilet before she went home and ran from that toilet and said, it's grew back! It's grew back! And her cheekbone had grown back. Not only had her cheekbone grown back, but she'd had a damaged eye as a result of all of the abuse that her ex-boyfriend had given her. She went for an eye test, and that eye is completely healed. We didn't even pray for her eye to be healed, but it was completely healed. Do you know what she did minutes before she was healed? She forgave her ex-boyfriend. Isn't that interesting? This church, just a few months ago, right where you're sat, that miracle took place. It didn't just happen 2,000 years ago. It didn't just happen 1,000 years ago. It didn't happen back in Abraham's time. It's happening right now, and it's going to continue until Jesus comes again. Because that's normal Christian living. My back, let me tell you about me. I was diagnosed in 2008 with a collapsed disc that leaks and rheumatoid arthritis in every joint. And for 3 years, I had agony in every joint, but particularly in my back. And if you've ever had back pain or arthritis, it's debilitating. And I went to the doctors, and my doctor said to me, you will never run again. I love running. I love sport. Have I mentioned that? And my doctor said, you'll never run again. I said, can I swim? She went, no, you can't swim. I said, can I at least jog gently? She went, no. I said, can I play five-a-side? She went, are you not hearing me right? You'll never do any sport again. 2008. 2010, we're on a bus going back to the airport from an Estonia conference. The same one where I've just prayed for people for the first time in my life and seen them healed. And Martin prays for my back to be healed. Today, I go to the gym all the time. I went tonight before I came here. I play football when I want to with my boys out the front. I swim when I want to, because I'm healed. Do I get twinges and pains in my joints? Yeah, I do actually. But you know what? Jesus healed me. I can stand with confidence tonight and tell you this isn't somebody else's script. This is my script. I've been healed. And there's no medical miracle that's done that to me. It's no painkillers that did it, because I didn't take any. Nobody gave me anything. Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. And on Sunday night, a few weeks ago in this church, I just had this feeling that there was a few people with hay fever. I called them out, and there's about 20 people stood here. And as I stood here, I could smell Vic. You know, the Vic vapor rub. And loads of people around here could smell Vic. This menth, you know, the menthol Vic. And somebody said, I can smell Vic. And someone went, who's Vic? Vic Gledhill, you see, he was back again. And I said, and about half a dozen people, particularly where the smell was, instantly healed of hay fever. Jesus is in the healing game. You're in the healing game if you want to. If you want to. So, some personal words now. We're just going to move into some ministry time now. All right? Who's got a problem with your throat and chest? It's very phlegmy. You have a real problem with like phlegm and catarrh build-up. Is that you? Anyone else? Two? All right. And you're very wheezy as a result of it. Okay. So we're going three. Oh, it's the phlegm night. Great. Can we get some buckets? There's the first one. All right. Secondly, someone has a problem with their eyesight. You get dark shadows over your eyes from time to time, particularly when you first wake up. Who's that? I'll stick with phlegm. Someone gets heart palpitations, panic attacks, and breathlessness as a result of it. I'm going to keep listing them. Someone has a problem with your balance. You don't walk easily, and you fall often and stumble and sometimes hurt yourself. We're going to pray for that. Several of you, two or three people, have got tinnitus. I know Darren's got it, but some other people have got tinnitus, which is a ringing in your ears, particularly when you're around loud sounds. We're going to pray for that. Someone's got high blood pressure, and it's linked to angina. So someone struggles with angina. And is it you on everything here, Maz? Have you got it all? I almost went into sexually transmitted diseases there, but that wouldn't be Marion, would it? And then the last one is bad blood circulation. There's somebody who's got, is that Marion again, has got bad blood circulation, and it leaves your feet and your hands cold because of the bad blood circulation. So if you're any of those, just come out the front. If that's you, just come out the front. Stuart's all of them. Whoever that is, just come and, can we just move that banner out the way? Is that right? So there's a few. We'll just come over this side, guys. Come over this side. The healing only happens over this side. Is that because you've got heart palpitations and panic attacks? Is it a fear of walls? All right. Margaret, I thought you were on the other side. Okay. So right, we need, guys, if you want to be healed, you're going to have to do some work. Let's clear a space so that you're all in a straight line. So by straight, right, that would be straight. If anyone wants to help, that's absolutely fine. But we want a straight line, okay? Okay. And we're going to need some space around them so that you guys can come and pray for them. So those chairs are going to have to move. Thanks, bruv. Okay, everyone who wants to be moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, come on out and pick a victim. I mean, somebody that you want to go and pray for. This is a just do it ministry. It's not a spectator sport. Come and do it. Come and do it. Come and find someone. Move further out if we need more space. Make the line longer if we need to. Don't do anything just yet. Just pick a victim. All right, don't do anything just yet, guys. Don't do anything just yet. So by just yet, that means don't do anything. All right. Guys, if you don't want to do it, that's absolutely fine. Okay? That's absolutely fine. Right, have we all got someone? Have we all picked someone? Right. Who's come out for prayer but hasn't got anyone yet praying for them? We could do, so Darren, come over here. We could do with a couple more people praying there. Right, so just a moment, all right? Jesus didn't pray for the sick. He healed the sick. So we're just going to do three or four things tonight. Talk to the person that's come out and ask them what it is, all right? Get the specifics, all right? Once you've got that, you might inquire whether there's a forgiveness issue there, or it might be a sin issue, or it might be deep-rooted in the family. Ask about that. And then pray specifically into that issue. And as you do, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open so that you can see if anything's happening. And as you're praying, stop and say, how is it? What's happening? And just listen. We're going to give that a go. Okay? Off you go. Off you go, guys.